Well, a pleasant good morning to you. I hope that you've been encouraged by the assembly thus far, and I hope that you'll open your Bible with me as we look to God's Word this morning. We live in the midst of a huge problem of biblical illiteracy, not just by those in the world, but also within the church. Mr. George Gallup and Jim Castelli both are involved in taking polls across our country. And in the book they've written, they say, Americans revere the Bible, but by and large they don't read it. And because they don't read it, they've become a nation of biblical illiterates. Well, how bad is it? Consider some results from various surveys that have been taken recently. Fewer than half of all adults in America can name the four gospel accounts. Many who profess to be Christians cannot identify more than two or three of the apostles. 60% of Americans can't name five of the Ten Commandments. 82% of Americans believe the phrase, God helps those who help themselves, is a Bible verse. 12% of adults believe Joan of Arc was Noah's wife. A survey of graduating seniors revealed that over 50% thought Sodom and Gomorrah were husband and wife. George Barna, who also takes polling on our country, says increasingly America is biblically illiterate. The poison of biblical illiteracy has effects on all of us as individuals. God's people have always been destroyed by a lack of knowledge. Hosea 4 and in verse 1 says, listen to the word of the Lord, O sons of Israel, for the Lord has a case against the inhabitants of the land because there's no faithfulness or kindness or knowledge of God in the land. And then in verse 6, he says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you from being my priest. Since you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. This destruction that comes upon them is from God. In Isaiah 59 and verse 2, it says, because your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. When we do not know God's will, and we willingly sin, the result is the same, whether we willingly sin or unknowingly sin, and that is the condemnation of God. There is no faithfulness, there is no kindness in our life when we do not know the will of God. These had rejected knowledge and forgotten his law in Hosea. And it terrifies me to see a similar spirit in our country, and even in some in the Lord's church. The lack of faithfulness. So many people seem to practice a partial obedience or a sometimes faithfulness. The lack of kindness to brethren, to those who are in the world even. The rejection of knowledge and the willingness to forget what they do know. That's easily seen in the concept of becoming a doer of the word and not merely the hearer who deludes himself. God's destruction of the disobedient is promised. And we have to understand that that is a promise that includes you and me and all of those who are Christians. He will destroy those who are disobedient. In the Old Testament book of Amos, chapter 8, I would bring a reading to your attention. In Amos chapter 8, it reads, behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will send a famine on the land. Not a famine for bread or a thirst for water, but rather for hearing the words of the Lord. People will stagger from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They will go to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, but they will not find it. In that day, the beautiful virgins and the young men will faint from thirst. In ignorance, they make the wrong choices. When they stumble, they do not know where to turn. So in this text, the concept of fainting, falling from a thirst for the word of God is talked about. A word that they could not hear, most likely in this text, because it was not being read to them or it was not being taught to them. Today, with our access to the word of God, we still have biblical illiteracy because people are not taught and they do not read the word of God. Men are not teaching God's word. People are unfamiliar with it. So in ignorance, they make wrong choices. The choice to sin is a result of biblical illiteracy. Peter tells the Jews in Acts chapter 3 and verse 17, "I know you acted in ignorance just as your rulers did also." Can you imagine the level of ignorance that would crucify the Messiah? That happened. The wrong choice. To the extent that people don't even know where to turn today, men want to question whether the Bible even is from God. That's the level of ignorance around us. That is all around us. Without a knowledge of God's word, a person has no real direction or guidance in their life. In Psalm 119 and verse 105, it says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." How many of our friends are trying to get some direction in their life? And we can see them floundering without a cause or purpose in their life. People look to education, employment, relationships, and more. But the purpose of life is given to us by God in Matthew 6 and 33. "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." The mindset on spiritual things is a life of purpose and direction that those who are in the world just, they don't understand. Without knowledge of God's word, a person has no true joy or peace in this life. Again, in Psalm 119 and in verse 111, it says, "I have inherited your testimonies forever, for they are the joy of my heart." And in verse 165 of the same chapter, "Those who love your law have great peace, and nothing causes them to stumble." Not that we're not going to have problems in this life, but we're not going to stumble away from God, because I have that peace and I have that knowledge. Philippians 4 and verse 9 says that the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, the Apostle Paul writes, "Practice these things and the God of peace will be with you." How many lives are being destroyed? How many people are stumbling through life because they don't have the light of God's word guiding them? Hopefully, that is not a description of you. With God's knowledge, we are saved. Colossians 1 and verse 18 says, "The word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." That's the importance of the word of God. With God's knowledge, we are made to stand, Ephesians 6 and verse 13 argues. Taking that gospel armor, which includes the word of God. With His knowledge, we have joy, we have peace. Biblical literacy can destroy us as individuals, but it also destroys congregations. Churches languish for lack of teachers in most congregations. Teachers are few because many lack knowledge. Many are not mature. Some need to be taught again, as we read about in Hebrews 5:12. In many congregations, there's no one to preach or teach if the preacher gets sick or has to leave town. A lot of congregations struggle with that. That's not how it's supposed to be. But I'm convinced it's a result of biblical illiteracy. Churches are led astray by false teachers and false doctrine. Because how are they going to know what is false if they don't know what the Word of God says? We could see that idea of false teachers being regularly taught about there in 2 Peter chapter 2, and how they take advantage of people and how they lead people astray by their false words. Biblical illiteracy was a problem in the first century as well. We have to see that. But the false teacher can only be successful if I am ignorant of the truth. Now, me as the evangelist here, one of the elders of this congregation, I'll stand beside you, I'll help you all I can, but I can't be with you every minute. You have to be able to recognize what is false. You're not always going to have your Bible in your hand to check to see whether it's false. You're going to have to know if it's false at that moment. We have to have enough knowledge. Congregations are deceived because of individuals who do not know the Word of God. How many churches do you know of that you would describe as dying on the vine? Or they've either gone into wholesale apostasy because members cannot discern between truth and error. I tell you, there are more congregations with Church of Christ on the sign that practice error than do not. I firmly believe that. Biblical illiteracy also has an effect on our society, on our communities. Our standards of morality are skewed so that what is good is called evil, and what is evil is called good. That's from Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. We slaughter the innocents in abortion. And we spare those who are guilty, saying we should not have any capital punishment. That's all messed up, isn't it? We reward the wicked, movie stars, entertainers. We deprive the good, law enforcement, nurses. You can just see it in the paychecks, can't you? We overtax the harder worker and we give it to the one who will not work. For even those who are illegally in our country. And we call that good. Divorce is made easy. Adultery is looked upon lightly. Fornication, homosexuality, all of these things are approved in our nation and spoken of as being good. The effect of such things destroys our families, our communities, and our country. Firmly believe that. Evil, such as in promiscuity and pornography, is allowed to spread in the name of freedom, and it rips families apart. Children are deprived of the kind of parenting that is God-given and right, which would then lead them to what we call juvenile delinquency. It's what the Bible calls sin. Consider how the moral fabric of our nation and others in the world are becoming unraveled when everyone does what is right in their own eyes. That's a quote from Judges chapter 21 and in verse 25. Proverbs 14 and 34 rightly says, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people. It is disgraceful to those who know the will of God and that God identifies it as sin. The ignorant make bad choices, with their lack of knowledge. This poison of illiteracy of what God says can easily be seen in our society, easily be seen even within some congregations of the Lord's church. Is there then an antidote? I affirm to you very strongly, yes, there is. But it's going to require your effort. We have to read our Bible. We started reading Scripture this morning in a different way than we have in the past because Ronnie and I as elders feel there's a need to put the Word of God in front of us. We just need to hear the Word of God more. It's not connected to a sermon. We just need to hear what God says. That's even more true for us as individuals. Daily. Regularly. We have more ease of access to God's Word than any generation in any other nation before us. How many bound copies of the Word of God do you possess? Do you even know? I didn't. I had to go count. So I did this week. I have 29 copies of the Word of God. 29. That even surprised me a little bit. Do you remember the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts 8 was studying from his scroll of Isaiah, which had been handwritten and probably cost him a whole lot of money? So few people in past generations owned one copy of the Word of God. They were excited to own a portion of it if they could afford it. We're blessed to live in a time and a society that sees the need for everyone to read. Do you remember the pioneer days in our country? You've probably seen paintings and pictures of these kinds of images. It's dark, it's night, and you're in somebody's log cabin, and they're sitting next to this little oil lamp with their glasses on, and they're hunched over reading their Bible in almost the dark. And the print in that Bible is about a 0.6 font. We've got it so easy. So easy. Where is our sense of need to learn and know God's will? Now, with the advent of the internet and devices that we all carry around with us, we've always got our Bible with us, don't we? I would dare say probably 50 to 60% of us have a copy of Scripture available on our phone. Not that I have to go to the internet. I've downloaded an app where I can read the Bible on my phone. How often do you do that? I know a lot of people, we have some who come up to the front and they read from their tablet or their phone. I see many in the pew reading from their phone or a tablet. There's nothing wrong with that. There's everything good about it if we are using that as the source for going and learning to prevent myself from being ignorant. The truth that we don't like to talk about is really simple. We still don't tend to read God's Word. With all that ease of access, how many copies of the Bible we have. It's not about the ease of access. It's about our motivation. We don't want to read. We don't want to do that. We'd almost rather do anything else, it seems, at times. Because almost everything else is our excuse, isn't it? My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Maybe we need to say, my people in New Caney are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Or I am destroyed for lack of knowledge. Is this the reality of where we live? Is this the culture we're building in our congregation? Are we content being this way? I'd have you open your Bible with me to Psalm 119. I want to read a few verses here. Psalm 119. tells us that the truly blessed person is the one who's going to feed upon the Word of God daily. In verse 97 of Psalm 119, verse 97, it says, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever mine." David could say that, and he didn't have that phone in his pocket with a Bible app on it. We have all the more reason to have that same attitude, don't we? Turn back to the beginning of this psalm in verse 9. It says, "How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. With all my heart I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. Your word I have treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have told of all the ordinances of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and regard your ways. I shall delight in your statutes. I shall not forget your word." I would kindly suggest that's the attitude we should all have about the Word of God. And it often is not our attitude. The systemic practice of prayerful Bible reading is a part of daily life. It brings us closer to God because God is in our mind more. We will gradually increase our understanding of the Word of God. It will offer us strength and comfort and hope that only Scriptures can. Are you willing to do your part in stamping out biblical illiteracy? Are we going to be known as a congregation of believers who know our Bible? Or are we going to say, "The preacher knows his Bible"? Because I've heard people say that before too. A second antidote to biblical illiteracy, I believe, is frequent, in-depth Bible study with others. I think the Christian realizes the value of mutual edification. Hebrews chapter 3 and in verse 12. Hebrews 3 and verse 12 reads, "Take care, brethren, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God, but encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end." The unbelieving heart that would fall away from God, that's talking about a brother or sister in Christ. They have something to fall away from. They have fallen away from God. I'm supposed to encourage them because they've become one who does not believe. Well, why would a person not believe? It's a bad choice because of ignorance a lot of times. They don't think it applies to them, or what I'm doing is not that bad. Hebrews 10 and 24 says, "We're to consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." Nowhere are we going to be encouraged in our faith in the same way as we are at a public assembly for worship or for the study of God's Word. In our congregation, we provide the opportunity for Christians to study together. I suspect strongly there are some adult members in our congregation present this morning who could not tell you what we're studying in our classes on Sunday or Wednesday night as adults. There are probably some who bring their children to Bible classes who do not know what their children are studying in Bible classes. I must conclude from our lack of attendance at most of our classes, that many of the brethren in our congregation do not see any value in studying Scripture with others. Please correct me afterwards if I have a wrong understanding. The challenge to the more than 50% of our congregation who do not attend Bible studies is to answer these questions. Are you increasing or decreasing in your biblical literacy by your absence? Has a failure to know God's Word and remain immersed in it caused you to fall or stumble recently? Are you stronger in your faith for not attending Bible studies? I think we all would agree that by lack of use, we forget. Constant study is needed to maintain where we're at and to grow in our knowledge. So the challenge is for you to attend the Bible studies that we offer. They're not a requirement of the Lord. They're not a requirement of the church. They're for our good. That's why we gather. Will you be one who is present? In addition to our public studies, we need to be engaged in private studies with fellow believers. We help each other through study and learning. I believe that's what the Bereans were doing in Acts 17 and verse 11, searching the Scriptures daily to see if these things were so. They were doing that together, I have to think. Do we have a similar great eagerness to examine the Scriptures? Do we relish the opportunity to study with others and learn more about what God has revealed? In Mark 12 and verse 24, Jesus addressed a question from the Sadducees by saying, "Is this not the reason that you are mistaken, that you do not understand the Scriptures or the power of God?" I wonder sometimes if Jesus doesn't point his finger at me and say that. The antidote, furthermore, to biblical illiteracy has to include parents accepting their God-given responsibility. God gave the responsibility of spiritual training to the parents in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and Ephesians chapter 6. Parents should not abdicate their responsibility to let the church train their children. What we might can do in a Bible class for a grand total of an hour and a half a week pales in comparison to the amount of time you spend with your children and the opportunities you have. We provide some materials in our classes here, and some of our brethren volunteer to teach in a classroom. That's just intended to provide direction for the parental studies at home. That's what it's really for. Just bringing them to church, that's not going to give them enough to be biblically literate, nor a person of faith. Won't even come close. Parents should oversee the children's exposure to the Word of God. If you read Dr. Seuss to your children every night, but not the Bible, there's something wrong in your house. If you insist your third or sixth grader do their reading for their English assignment, but you don't insist that they read their Bible, there's something wrong in your house. If you're not reading Scripture with your teens and discussing those Scriptures, you're teaching them the Bible has no great value. The Bible and reading it has to be taught as the highest of all priorities in your home. It comes before school, it comes before athletics, it comes before hobbies or dating or work or anything else. That's only going to be done when it's our priority as parents. God says it's our responsibility. Do we really want our children to be biblically illiterate like the rest of the country around us? Do we want them to make bad choices in ignorance? That will be the result. Some parents need to grow. Some need to study with their families. And as your priorities change, so will your families. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 is a passage we're familiar with. It says, "All Scripture is inspired of God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Are you ready to accept your parental responsibilities regarding biblical literacy? In his book, Albert Mohler has written, "We will not believe more than we know, and we will not live higher than our beliefs. The many fronts of Christian compromise in this generation can be directly traced to biblical illiteracy in the pews and the absence of biblical preaching and teaching in our homes and churches." He goes on to say, "This generation must get deadly serious about the problem of biblical illiteracy, or a frighteningly large number of Americans, Christians included, will go on thinking that Sodom and Gomorrah lived happily ever after." Are we those who are willing to get deadly serious about this problem? If so, it has to become a priority in your life, a goal, and a need that we must fulfill. Become one who reads our Bible every day. We have to become one who engages in frequent, in-depth study of the Word of God with fellow believers and in private. We have to be those who read and examine Scripture daily with our family. I leave you with the thought of James 1 and verse 21. "Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls." Biblical illiteracy is a result of failing to receive what God has revealed. A Christian should have already received what God has revealed, but perhaps you see in your life you've been neglectful. You've not paid much close attention to what you have heard. You've drifted away from it, Hebrews chapter 2 would argue. If that's the case with you, I urge you to repent and seek the Lord's forgiveness. He's been patient with us up to this point, and He wants all men to come to repentance. Has the Word of God been implanted in your heart? You may have learned of God's truth regarding how a man is saved, that you know that this is the will of God. That word has been implanted. You believe it, but now you have to act upon it. That's the whole purpose of knowledge, to lead us to obedience unto God. We urge you to repent of your sin. Confess that Jesus is the Son of God and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sin, and then live faithful unto death. The Word of God is able to save our souls. It's the power of God unto salvation, Romans 1 and 16 says. Will you obey that word today? Then come forward now as we stand and sing to encourage.